Thank you. Sorry about that. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you are asking where I am going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because the advocate won't come. If he doesn't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me.
Good afternoon. It is warm, isn't it? It's lovely. Mustn't complain. Lovely. So Pentecost. What is Pentecost? So simply put, it's the birthday of the church. Pentecost happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus and 10 days after his ascension into heaven. It's the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus, described in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the descent of the Holy Spirit on this day marked the beginning of the global Christian mission. Pentecost was the birth. The power of Pentecost was never meant only for these sorts of church services. They were meant for everyday living, for people just like us. Do we believe that today? Do we believe that God is working in our life every single day? And that he really is interested in us as individuals? It's really easy to doubt, isn't it? That especially, I think, when you're going through tougher times, it's easy for those little doubts just to creep in, and you just begin to think, why would God possibly care about me? Why me? I'm just insignificant. But God did what no human has ever been able to do. He filled the people with his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And Pentecost is God saying, you don't have to live this life in your own strength. The Spirit comes in many roles in the Christian faith. So it comforts and counsels, teaches and transforms, and empowers and equips us. So it comforts and counsels. The Holy Spirit acts as an advocate and stays with us to provide us with the guidance and strength we need. It teaches and transforms. The Holy Spirit reveals truth and highlights our sin. It helps people understand spiritual realities, biblical teaching, and gently points out when we're not quite doing something right. The Spirit produces character, renews the mind. It develops positive traits like love, joy, patience, and as we know them as the fruit of the Spirit. It empowers us and equips us. The Spirit provides bold witness. It grants the courage and words needed to share faith with others, to show God's love in a broken world. And it gives spiritual gifts. So in, as Craig said, in my own unique style, I'm just going to go through and just touch on just a few of the things I've mentioned and about Pentecost. So Pentecost means that we're not on our own. It comforts and counsels us. It says that Jesus fulfilled his promise when he said he would send a helper. The Holy Spirit is God's active presence with us. It guides us, strengthens us, teaches us, comforts us in our daily life. It says, I love you. It says, I'm always here for you. And that's actually something no human can ever truly fulfill, but the Holy Spirit does. So how does the Holy Spirit actually comfort us? It gives us peace during times of fear and grief. So over the years of being Christian, I've heard of people sort of sharing how they experience this really sudden calm, or maybe that they feel really somehow reassured through the most difficult times. And it can be maybe while you're praying, in worship, or reflecting. It gives us strength to endure. So the Spirit gives courage when we feel weak, overwhelmed when we feel lonely or discouraged. And it's often at these times that we can't always see these things very clearly. And it's okay for other people to pray with us and for us, and to reach out for others. In fact, reaching out to other people to support us, especially in prayer, is never a sign of weakness. It's actually a real sign of courage to step out and ask someone to be there with us. The Holy Spirit is a reminder of God's love. The Spirit helps us feel accepted, forgiven, and never abandoned, because we're never alone. We have the Spirit's presence throughout any kind of suffering we have. Rather than removing every problem instantly, the Spirit stays with us through pain and helps us to persevere at the times when we need it the most. So what does it mean when we say the Holy Spirit counsels us? How? Through prayer. We can pray for wisdom and ask that the Holy Spirit will help shape us, our conscience, our priorities, our judgment. He convicts us and corrects us. The Spirit can gently expose those harmful attitudes or actions in our life and encourage repentance and growth. Fairly sure we can all think of something here, whether it's an addiction or a stronghold or just something we're struggling with in our everyday life that we really need the Holy Spirit's power with. And it helps us to understand Scripture. The Spirit helps us to understand teachings in the Bible more deeply and apply them more wisely to our daily living. As I mentioned earlier about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26 says this: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. So what does Pentecost reveal about God to us, and how it does it teach us and transform us? It shows us that actually God moves through ordinary people. He can move through anyone. He uses ordinary people to do the biggest of things. You may be sitting here, probably like I'm standing here, thinking, do you know, I'm not rich enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, talented enough, I'm not important enough. But God uses us anyway. The most ordinary people he uses. We're surrounded by a society that pushes, persuades us that more money, the ideal job, big house, fancy car, perfect health will give us happiness. But it doesn't. Because there's good news. God loves us just as we are. None of us here are too small, too insignificant. There's nothing we can do that will make God love us any less. None of us are too old, too young, too rich, too poor, the list is endless. I could go on and on. Because every single one of us can play a part, a really important part in the church and in the lives of other people. Because God loves us, who we are, just as we are. And throughout the Bible, God uses the most ordinary people to do the biggest things. Just a few examples. When God created a new nation to call his own, he didn't start with a powerful group or big clan. He chose one man, one woman, Abraham and Sarah. When God was ready to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, he used a man who was rejected as a leader and spent most of his life leading sheep in the desert. When God wanted the king to represent his people, he chose a little shepherd boy named David. And when God chose men to start his church, not one of them were noble or famous or royalty. Instead, he chose the common fishermen, labourers, and even a tax collector. The principle is still true today. God still uses ordinary people to do the most big things. We each have a purpose. In reality, none of us have very big lives, do we? None of us have this big sort of career and massive accomplishments and qualifications. Well, some of you might, I shouldn't say none of you, but most of us here will be just normal, ordinary people. We can often run out of steam because we don't see that big success. We don't expect that if we don't get impressive results that we're ever going to be good enough for God. Size becomes our focus. The problem is that when we put all our focus on our results, we take our focus off of God. We can easily forget that God can grow a big tree out of an insignificant seed. So Paul this morning was saying about that sunflower seed. You hold a sunflower seed, you can't ever imagine it growing into this beautiful sunflower. And yet God works in the most invisible ways and grows big things out of the smallest of things. And have a think. I can imagine the people who have made the biggest difference in your life probably weren't famous, super intelligent or super talented. Probably they were the average people that God actually put in your life for the right reason. And they probably were the ones that had the biggest influence on you. So Pentecost teaches us that we are empowered and equipped. God doesn't wait for us to be perfect. He empowers us right now, just as we are today. It's a challenge to us all, isn't it, I think? I speak to myself as I always do, but do you believe today that God can use you just as you are and grow something big in your life? If you feel unqualified, could it be that God is actually calling you despite your imperfections and despite you feeling inadequate? God doesn't wait for us to be perfect. He begins the work in us. Because if he waited for us to be perfect, it's never going to happen. God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we could have full lives. And Jesus is alive. God uses us in our imperfection, with our flaws. Our lives are riddled with failures and sin, and yet he chooses to grow something far beyond what we can ever imagine. Because Pentecost exposes two truths. We are not meant to live spiritually breathless. And many believers today are still living like the disciples before the wind, tired, always striving, and just trying to be better. So Pentecost says, stop trying to breathe life into yourself. Let God breathe into you. We're carriers of God's presence. The Spirit didn't fall on the building, it fell on people. Where you go, God goes with you. And our voice matters. Use it to share your testimony with others. Use it to encourage others, to bring hope to those who feel discouraged. Use it in prayer and worship to the Lord. Speak truth with love and bring patience to others who are going through maybe quite a stressful time. Let me ask this question to you all. Which part of your life right now most needs the Holy Spirit's power? Is it your courage? Could it be a relationship with other people? Clarity of thought? Maybe your sense of purpose? Maybe you wonder, why am I here and what am I doing? Many successful individuals started with very little, but through perseverance and hard work, they achieved big things. And if we want to see big rewards in our life, we must first embrace the small beginnings with faith and action. Listen out for the ways he speaks to us through the Bible, through other people in our life, through the Holy Spirit. Start with what you have. Use what you have currently wisely. Instead of saying, "What do I have?" rather ask, "How am I using it?" Stay consistent. Growth comes with persistence and patience. Trust the process. Growth takes time. Keep moving forward. Try not to dwell on the past, especially the negative aspects of it. And most importantly, have faith. God is working behind the scenes every single day. He's preparing us all for bigger blessings. A quote from Alan Cohen, an American businessman: "Do not wait until the conditions are perfect to begin. Beginning makes the conditions perfect." And I don't know much about business, but I believe God honours our faithful steps. And he will provide the strength that we need for our journey. All we got to do is begin it. Small beginnings become powerful when God breathes on them. Every action, every effort, every moment of perseverance spills towards something much, much greater. The Holy Spirit empowers imperfect people who are willing to obey. The Holy Spirit empowers our service and our ministry. And in the New Testament, the Spirit gives us spiritual gifts, such as teaching, encouragement, leadership, generosity, mercy, discernment, and it's all to build and serve the community. It may be that you're actually not fully aware of what your spiritual gifts are. And many years ago now, but Craig and I actually went through a book, and it's a book by Bruce Bugbee, and it's How to Discover Your Spiritual Gifts. And just by working your way through, you can just begin to see maybe where your spiritual gifts are. It may be that you already do know, but it may be that God's laying on your heart something and you didn't think you would be good at it, but actually, it might be one of your spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit develops us step by step. Character, wisdom, patience, discipline, and spiritual maturity. Try starting something new today. Could be a project, could be something on a to-do list. It might be something you feel God is calling you to do. If you feel that little tug in your heart that you think God might be asking you to do something, just step out in faith, trust him, trust that he's got this. It can actually feel really quite overwhelming, especially if you're starting something new. But Philippians 4:13 reminds us, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The Holy Spirit can take a little bit of faith, a little strength, a little opportunity, and then grow it into something that blesses so many people. So keep pressing forward. Keep thinking, "I wonder what I could start to do today." And as we draw to a close, let's just remember, Pentecost was the birth of courage in the timid, clarity in the confused, unity in the divided, and power in the ordinary people. The Holy Spirit may guide us with a nudge, a scripture coming alive when we read it, a conviction, a piece that doesn't make sense at the time, a warning that protects us, a word or picture that strengthens. The Holy Spirit helps us to choose forgiveness, control our attitude, pray with others, not just with them, for them, and be with them as well. The Holy Spirit helps us to celebrate differences, because unity isn't just about agreement and we all agree about everything. It's about agreement on Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to listen before speaking and speaking with wisdom. It helps us to resist temptation. It helps us to love even difficult people. And it helps us to stay faithful under persecution. I'm just going to end with just reading, it's just a short story by John Tyson from his book, The Birds and His Light. And it's entitled, "God is in the Freezer." When I was 16, I dropped out of high school to work in a meat factory as an apprentice butcher. Very few people would have described the shop as holy ground. The butchers were rough men with foul mouths, and there were pictures of women dressed on the walls and animal carcasses filling massive refrigerators and boxes of chickens everywhere. The work was hardly manual labour, and at that point in my life, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with God. I was just enjoying emerging into young adulthood as a man who had worked hard and took responsibility for his own life. However, much to my surprise, I became a Christian on the weekend of my 17th birthday. This wasn't something I planned on. I was simply swept up in the story of redemption. All the Christian cliches I'd ever heard suddenly became real to me. I was completely transformed by faith in Christ. I was born again, a new creation, and had moved from death to life. The biblical truth that best described my experience with this was declaration from a man who encountered Jesus. I was blind, but now I see. I came to Christ in the middle of a charismatic revival, and the church services were drenched with the presence of God. He was there. The tangible, intimate sense of his love and power was overwhelming. And then I would have to leave the glory cloud and go back to the meat shop and make pork sausages. Acutely aware of this gap between my experience of church and those in the meat factory, I began to cry out to God. If you are truly God, then you have to be God in the butcher shop as well as that church. Many people at church were speaking in tongues. The others were being slain in the spirit, yet none of this had happened to me. One day, I was praying in the freezer, surrounded by frozen animal carcasses, when I experienced what felt like a bolt of lightning that came through the ceiling and filled my body. I started speaking in tongues at the top of my lungs and then began sobbing. My body felt like it had been filled with liquid love, and I just wept. This event transformed a meat freezer into the gate of heaven. I was aware of God's presence in a manner and intensity that I'd never felt before. That experience changed everything. Afterward, I would do my humble task with joy and gratitude, and I lived in the revelation that there was nowhere I could flee from God's presence, not even in the freezer. The whole world is full of God. The goal of our faith is to keep that staggering truth in front of us. God was in the freezer, and I knew it. I just hope it would challenge us that whatever preconceptions we have of where the Holy Spirit could be, and he was even in the freezer. Thank you.